Hi, welcome to The Natural View. This is Todd Pauli from 24 Stories. Maggie Jackwell, the editor-in-chief of Whole Foods Magazine, is actually off at the CRN conference. So you've got me solo today, and I've got a guest I'm very excited about. If you're a reader of Whole Foods Magazine, you obviously know him, Jay Jacobowitz with Retail Insights. He's the president and founder and frequent contributor to Whole Foods Magazine. How are you doing, Jay?
Very well, Todd. Thanks.
I love the fact that you've kept this focus on independent natural retailers and how they can survive and thrive amongst changing market climates. So let's talk about that a little bit, because you have two columns addressing Amazon. They focus on two different aspects of the Amazon business, and we'll get into that. There's really one unifying theme that I see, and it was in one of the takeaway tips of one of the columns, and it basically said, unless you have a spare $1 billion, or to invest in technology, human touch is still the best route to a survivable business model for independent retailers. And let's get into that as far as what that means. I don't think that's a big surprise for anyone on the retail side. You're going to bring physical customers into your brick and mortar store. You have to offer an experience. You have to offer a service that's above and beyond clicking.
Absolutely. That's very true. Can anybody really answer the question, is delivery profitable? And what I mean is the last mile. So click and pick up or third-party delivery services for Walmart, Target, Amazon, Costco. Does anybody really know if anybody's making any money? If you take a look at Amazon's recent quarterly results, their profits are down significantly in the analog part of their business, where they have to have real products delivered on real trucks to real destination households, because they're spending billions to build that infrastructure. I don't think anybody knows if it's profitable. I think probably Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, knows that it's not profitable. And I think the analyst community is pretty certain that it's not profitable. We're seeing the various third-party delivery services like Grubhub and Instacart report questionable profits, or maybe none so far. So really the jury's out, but if you have whatever Amazon's market capitalization is, $800 billion, or it's approached $1 trillion, a couple billion dollars thrown at building out infrastructure to deliver the last mile is a rounding error.
Sure.
So it really is going to be a little bit of a while. Maybe it's going to be 3 years, maybe it's going to be 5 years before there is a shakeout and before we really see, I guess as Warren Buffett says, when the tide goes out, who's naked and who's not wearing any any bathing suits?
Right. Well, it seems like it's almost an attempt to bring online convenience to brick and mortar, right? It's doing everything that they possibly can to convert in-store experiences to almost an online experience where you don't necessarily leave your house, yet the products are coming from brick and mortar. So what does that mean for independent retailers?
Right. Well, it's a great question. I think that it is a trap to assume as a brick and mortar retailer that you need to mimic every technological innovation having to do with reducing friction in the transaction. I think a little friction is actually something that we desire as humans. We want to be seen. We want to be recognized. We want to touch products. We want to have conversations. Not all the time. I mean, if you're a mom, you know, with a full schedule, taking kids to the soccer game and, you know, saving some time by telling Alexa to order you your commodities is a useful thing, but not always, and not to the exclusion of human touch.
Well, and especially when there's a high education factor in the products you're buying, which is, of course, our industry, correct?
Well, that's very true. There's a comfort to being able to go to speak to somebody about a health concern or a nutrition concern that you have, and to realize that the person you're speaking to is responding specifically to you, has nutritional knowledge, and can help you understand what to expect by taking natural remedies or bolstering your nutritional regime, and how that product is going to work for you, as opposed to presuming that you know everything that you need to know, or getting your information only from online, which of course is the Wild West. You don't know what the quality of that information is many times. And so, yeah, we do need handholding in the area of health.
Sure. And, you know, if I can just go back to the technological question or point you made, a minute ago, because I think it's fascinating. And maybe the first inclination of a retailer is to try to mimic what Amazon or some other big online retailer is doing. But you have a very interesting story or an example in your column where it talks about Amazon making price changes almost by the hour. That's really a game and a level of sophistication I can't imagine small independent retailers really being able to compete against anyway. I mean, it seems like a loser's game to go down that road and always be a couple steps behind a whole army of technologists who are set up to sell online. So a clear and different path to set yourself apart, whether that's education, in-store experience, seems to be the way to go.
Well, I think almost by default, Todd, because there is no way you can achieve all the proper structure. Amazon is its own planet. It's its own entire platform. They control everything, and they limit the information that the sellers, the third-party sellers on Amazon's platform, have. So they hold all the cards, and they know exactly what's selling in the macro sense. And yes, they can change prices, not by the hour, by the minute if they want to. And they essentially, you're captive to them. The other interesting thing that's emerging is that there are other platforms, okay? There are other sites and other places where you can sell as a third party, but each of them has a different structure. So the structure that you develop for Amazon platform might not work well for another platform. So the idea winds up being that you have to have multiple structures and multiple different price points, perhaps multiple different types of product sizes. And you maybe get success that way, but the logistical nightmare, not to mention the expense, is just absolutely huge. So it's kind of a fool's game for, you know, a one or two store independent natural products retailer to think that they can play this game and have any hope of success.
Sure. What do you think this does for retailers? How does this present an opportunity for them? And I know we've touched on education a bit, and that, you know, from the first online sales forays years ago, that has always been one of the tenets of in-store experience, right? Provide the knowledge, the customer service, and the education to keep people coming in the stores. How has that changed, or how can we update that discussion for 2019? What do stores need to be doing now to take advantage of their unique benefits to in-store experience versus selling online?
Yeah, and it's a great question and a fascinating topic. And I think any frontline independent natural products retailer out there has justification for being skeptical of the education argument, because why? Even 15 years ago or more, when customers first had access to the internet, showrooming began to take place. And independent natural products retailers had their hearts broken, really, because their customers that they had assumed would be loyal to them, in fact, showed no loyalty whatsoever, and even rudeness by taking their smartphones in and just simply searching the product they were looking at on the shelf to see if they could find a better price. It really broke their hearts.
Oh, sure.
So when you say, go ahead and invest in education as an independent retailer, retailers go, yeah, right. And, you know, they're going to take my education, and then they're going to walk out the door and get it somewhere else. To fill out the answer to the question, so it's not just education. Yes, education has to be a part of it. But when we talk about, quote unquote, the experience, what does that actually mean? It has to flow from the belief about the owner of the company that this is something that is hard to do, meaning have a natural products retail brick and mortar store in the 21st century. But they do it because they believe in the products, because they genuinely want to help people get better and maintain their health, because they empower their people to be knowledgeable about nutrition and to share that knowledge with every customer, to provide an uplifting experience. There's this concept of a third place that's not home and it's not work, but it's a place where people gather. And that's what Whole Foods was, frankly, 20 years ago, where people would go and they knew that they would run into people of a like mind. And there was a really community sense about it. Well, that's what we mean about experience. It has to be everything. It has to be the education. It has to be a warm atmosphere. It has to be a place where you're encouraged to spend time and to linger. It has to be a place where people can network and speak to each other. It has to be the right price. It has to be a great product mix. It has to be all those things. Now, I do have some real world experience here because my company, Retail Insights, is dedicated to helping the independent natural products retailer. And I will just tell you that there are independent retailers around the country that are doing very, very well. They tend to be incumbents. They have had their store for over a decade, sometimes two and even three decades. They have continued to remain dynamic. They have expanded their footprints. They have added fresh perishable departments. They have added food service carefully. Mm-hmm. And they now are perceived by their communities as the local favorite. They continue to do very, very well. On the other hand, independent natural products retailers who have not remained dynamic, who have not kicked the product mix and assortment up a notch, who have not invested in their stores and not kept things refreshed and invested in things like refrigeration and equipment, they're not seeing the kind of success and sustainability that the more dynamic independent natural products retailers are. So guess what? It costs money. It takes energy. And you do have to come from a very strong vision about your mission and what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And across on my side of the business, as we look at retailers and we look at manufacturers, mission is such a huge part and has grown to be within the last 5 years. And never before have I seen someone supplying an ingredient for a supplement actually has consumers engaged about mission and what they're trying to deliver. So it makes sense that that would also be a vibrant part of making a health food store run successfully. So all that being said, I think there's the risk of not knowing exactly what those steps are to take, because we all know those local stores that we go into. I have a local running store I go into, and they're not unlike an independent health food store where they could potentially get killed by big box stores and online. They've garnered this sense of community. I can't quite put my finger on it. It's a lot of group events. It's a little bit of education, but it's also this sense when you walk in, they recognize you. It feels good. It feels homey. It feels like a place you want to belong. Can you give any practical tips of things that retailers could possibly try to turn that customer perception from a store they walk in and buy their health foods and vitamins and supplements to a place they want to spend time in that makes them have that intangible feeling of this is the place I want to belong to? Are there a couple of things that if someone was looking to convert their in-store experience, they could actually start looking into and start trying?
Yeah, and it starts from the idea that it's a diamond in the rough. This thing is just dusty and covered over. They already have all the elements of a genuine, authentic, warm, welcoming, nourishing, uplifting experience. They have to begin talking about it. They have to empower their team to understand and to talk about it also. Why are we here? Why do we get up in the morning? Why, against all odds, do we do this difficult thing? It's because we believe in people, we believe in the products, we believe in ourselves. And then, yes, there is a monetary component to that, because if your refrigeration is 15 years old, it makes a lot of noise, and it breaks down all the time, guess what? That's not warm and fuzzy. You've got to fix that. So there is a money component. You've got to invest in the facility itself. So there's three P's: people, place, and product. And if you can't be the best in all three of those things, but you've got to be as good as you can. Where independent retailers can be the best is with the people, but they have to at least have table stakes with the place. They've got to, refresh the refrigeration at least every 5 to 7 years. And they have to have the right product mix, which they're usually pretty good at, but as we all know, product is ubiquitous. It's available everywhere.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, from an outside perspective, I'd almost look at the restaurant industry. You need good service. You need obviously good food, but that atmosphere is huge. And asking yourself, why do you go back to a place? Take the Chicago area or any major metropolitan area. You can get a great steak in dozens of places. Why do you go back to one? And I almost wonder if it's a matter of sometimes asking a third party such as yourself, asking customers to weigh in, going out and doing some field research. What are, not even in the health food store industry, but what are some retail experiences that make you have that feeling as a store owner when you yourself walk into other retail places? What makes you have that feeling? I think it all comes down to, and not to lean too much on the design side of it, but really, if you show up to a store every day for 10 plus years, you might not be seeing some of those experience things that a customer feels walking in. And I'm wondering if there's ways for owners to step out of their own store every once in a while and take a look and see what they could bring in and how they could update, not only mechanically and functionally, but also creating some sort of atmosphere, some sort of vibe that makes customers want to come back in and spend time and get to that third place destination as you talked about.
That's absolutely correct, Todd. And your restaurant analogy is a good one. Take a look at what the department stores are doing now. Saks, Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom's. They're all adding high-end restaurants into their stores. Why? Because even if you don't shop today, you're going to have a wonderful meal, and then you'll tell somebody else about it, and they'll come and shop, or you'll come back and you'll shop. These restaurants are designed to the gills. They're expensive build-ups. And of course, yes, they're done with professionals that design these things, that are the architects and the engineers. So there is a money component to this. And I realize that a lot of independent natural products retailers don't have the resources to do something like that, but you're absolutely right. It will not break the bank to bring in a professional to take a look at design and aesthetic. Just pick a color scheme, for example, something like how are you going to paint the walls? What are your ceiling treatments like? What sort of floor surface do you want? And so you don't have to break the bank to do this, to get a professional to give you some advice as to unifying the visual presentation.
We should talk just briefly about your December column, because this really offers, in my mind, some sort of ray of hope for independent retailers that are listening to our conversation, trying to find out what might work and the changes they might like to make.
Right. So in the December column, I really try to uncover the thinking that Amazon had when it acquired Whole Foods, and whether or not that really makes sense. It's wound up that, in fact, what we're seeing is because Amazon is trying to solve the last mile delivery problem. It has hired Amazon workers and third parties to come in and select product out of Whole Foods stores for online orders, to fill online orders. And what's happened is those pickers are getting in the way of regular shoppers and snapping up the salmon fillets before they get a chance, the regular shopper gets a chance to buy it. This has turned off a segment of regular shoppers to Whole Foods. So it raises the question, did Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, plan this all along, that he was going to use Whole Foods for essentially really expensive warehouse space?
Right.
I think not, because what's going on is Amazon is reportedly leasing spaces in Los Angeles, in the same metropolitan areas where they already have a Whole Foods store, to execute what we believe was their plan just before they acquired Whole Foods in 2017 for a hybrid market, which is half of it is non-retail. It has non-perishables, and it's operated by Amazon workers picking orders that come in online that are just commodity, household stuff, foods and non-foods, but they're not perishables. The other half is a retail store where customers can come and squeeze the tomatoes. They fill their carts with their perishables, and then the two orders, the non-perishable and the perishable, are married at the checkout point. So it appears that Amazon wanted to do this before the Whole Foods opportunity came along. It appears that they tabled it for the last couple of years while they were digesting Whole Foods, but now they're revisiting it. Why? Because you don't need to pay $100, $150 a square foot for Whole Foods premium pin corner locations to essentially have a hybrid warehouse selection facility and fulfillment facility. And so it raises the question, how is this really going to fit in Amazon's long-term scheme? And I said from the beginning 2 years ago that I don't believe it will. I think that Amazon is about efficiency. Whole Foods is all about human touch. And so as long as you do all the things that you need to do that we talked about before, people, place, and product, pay attention to those things, you will be able to survive.
Obviously, that's an interesting new hybrid type of retail experience. And despite part of the store where you get to squeeze the tomatoes. It just, none of that really sounds like the type of place you want to spend time in and that you talk to your friends about, other than convenience, in my opinion. That seems more like a true to Amazon type high efficiency model of in-store retail. So I can see where that would present opportunity for more independence. Well, as we wrap this up, is there anything else about that Amazon experience that we should touch on briefly?
Independent retailers just really pay attention to the quality of the experience that they're delivering to their customers. Empower your employees. Things like helping them gain professional improvement by educating them and subsidizing that, making sure that they're up to speed with the latest research. And then, yes, go talk to a designer and come up with an aesthetic for your store, for the space itself, and have a vision for that, and then execute it.
So that's all the time we have left. Let's tell folks, if they want to get in touch, Jay, how do they get in touch with you through your Retail Insights organization?
Right. Well, the website is retailinsights.com, just like it sounds, all one word. You can also reach me at jay@retailinsights.com. And we have a toll-free number, 800-328-0855, 800-328-0855.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Jay. I appreciate it and look forward to your upcoming column in the December issue of Whole Foods Magazine and many more to come.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.